Welcome. This is the ConSense Bulletin podcast. I'm Chauncey Rucker, publisher of the ConSense Bulletin website, and I'm having a conversation today with Marie Yonkin-Waldman here at the Tech Access Conference in Warwick, Rhode Island. Marie is author of Simply South County. She's also the host of Tea with Marie, a statewide Rhode Island public access cable show. She's before that spent 8 years with a television program on disability issues called Able 2. Today you're going to be presenting about cochlear implants, and that's what I'd like to hear about from you, simply the process, the decision, and the result, and all of that.
Thank you, Chauncey. I'm glad to be here with you today, and I'm happy to talk about that because it's very dear to my heart. I have to mention, first of all, that some people think that I have not changed. Mm-hmm. I think I have. I think I know myself better than other people. I really don't feel that as though I'm the same person. Mm-hmm. And I'm 63 years old. Mm-hmm. And I spent all of my life with a hearing loss. I was born with the cord wrapped around my neck, mm-hmm. and I had a progressive sensory neural loss. Mm-hmm. And eventually it got to the point where it was in the profound range, I'd say the past 6 years or so, and I was unable to use the telephone. Mm-hmm. In spite of that, I did all these things, which now as I look back at myself then, I really don't know how I did them. Right. I must have been working very, very hard. And lip reading, mm-hmm. and using hearing mm-hmm. aids and assistive technology. Mm-hmm. And one day, I guess I was evaluated 5 years ago in Boston at the Mass Eye and Ear, and they said hearing aids would not help me anymore. I mm-hmm. needed a cochlear implant. Mm-hmm. Well, I was shocked because I didn't realize I had gotten to that point. So I didn't want to do it then. I wasn't mm-hmm. ready. And went to my audiologist and got the latest in the state of line hearing aids, and they seemed to help with the lip reading, yeah. because I was a very good lip reader. I still am. And then, maybe 5 years later, I couldn't use the phone. That was becoming more and more difficult, yeah. and I was feeling more isolated, mm-hmm. and you know, unable to get a professional job, all kinds of things. But the biggest thing, too, was I was unable to connect with my family, mm-hmm. my grandchildren, my mm-hmm. children. I have a lot of grandchildren. And my friends, if we were driving in the car to the studio at night, I couldn't hear the people in the back seat because I couldn't see them, and it was dark. So I said, well, here's this technology out there. It's available. Why don't you go find out and see? And I did, and I went and did some research, and I had a friend in the area who'd had it done, and she had done a lot of very good research, mm-hmm. and I really respected her. So she really paved the way for where we went. We just followed along in her footsteps. And I went up to UMass Memorial in mm-hmm. Worcester, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. where they have a cochlear implant program. And I've heard a lot of good things about the doctor there, Dr. Lee, L-E-E. And some people I know have had their surgery done by him. He does something called minimal invasive surgery, mm-hmm. which is absolutely mm-hmm. amazing, but I'll get to that in a second. Trying to stay chronological here. So you have an appointment, and at most places where they do this, New York, Boston, Yale, different places, you would see several people on your first appointment. You would see an audiologist. Mm-hmm. who will test you about your hearing, and then you have to fall into a certain category in order to be eligible for the FDA to have the health insurance cover your implant. And I fell into that category. I can't tell you exactly what it is anymore, I can't mm-hmm. remember, but then you see the surgeon, and you have a consult with him, and then you see a social worker. Mm-hmm. who was very helpful. I think I was there all day long. And I found that later on I needed to see that, you know, email her because mm-hmm. I had some questions. Well, I went for all of this pre-surgery stuff about a week before the operation took place. And I have to say that I wasn't really thinking about this too much between the time when I went for my first appointment to see all mm-hmm. of those professionals I just mentioned. I had such a busy life with the TV show and writing and committees right. and all this stuff. Then the pre-surgery things happen, and you get all the testing. You have to have a CAT scan or an MRI to make sure that you have no physical abnormalities in your head and so forth. Then I thought about it 1 week before and got a little nervous, you know, the usual things that you might get if you're going to have any kind of surgery. But I got through that week, and we went up, and the particular hospital where I was had a wonderful situation. You did not know what time you were going to go in the morning until the night before, so you could stay at the hotel across the street. And there were patient rates, and it was really a luxury hotel. It was great. So therefore, you could sleep the night before instead of driving 2 hours away when you can't sleep all night, you know, get up. And the taxi takes you for free from door to door across the highway and so on. And then afterwards, my husband could go back to the hotel because the surgery took a couple of hours. And that night, we went back to the hotel and stayed there instead of driving them. So that worked out well. So I'm speaking of one place. There are many places where they do excellent jobs, I'm sure. Just speaking of UMass Memorial and how well I was treated there. So my daughter wanted to come. My husband and my daughter were there, and I had the surgery and came out of the surgery and felt really great and had a bandage on my head. And I guess all the medicine and so on makes you feel, you know, pretty good at first. And then the next day we went home, and I went to an art gallery and walking around with a bandage on my head looking at paintings. But then people came to visit, and I had prepared a lot ahead of time so that things would be fairly easy. People came to visit, and after about 4 or 5 days, I crashed, and it was just too much trying to do that, so I limited it to one visitor a day, and I got in the habit of recuperating and resting and relaxing. It takes about maybe 3 weeks to a month to recuperate.
Is there a rehabilitation in the sense of... Well, there's no exercises or anything like that you would do.
Well, okay, the 3 to 4 weeks you're not hearing in the ear that you had surgery, and that's totally deaf.
Oh.
So I was relying on my left hearing aid and my lip reading. The rehabilitation came after the activation.
Okay.
So activation happens when your wound has been healed. Oh, and back up a little minute. The surgery I mentioned earlier was minimal invasive surgery, which some of the surgeons are doing now. A tiny little incision, maybe an inch long, is made right behind your ear in the crease of your ear. And from that, they go in about 2.5 inches to insert the, I guess it's a little computer kind of thing that they put inside your head, which is going to connect to the processor after you get that when you're activated. What happens when you have the surgery is they insert a little, I guess it's electrodes, and it's connected to a string which looks like a piece of dental floss. And it's an amazing technology that they've developed, and it's able to stay there and not be bothered by the liquid in your head and so on. And they wrap that kind of around the cochlea. So I'm recuperating and had the surgery on May 11th, and I went for the activation on June 5th. And that's a big day. And I had been in touch with other people who had had this done before. I think that's a very important thing for people. They tell you realistically what to expect and so on, although everyone's a little bit different. I knew that when I went into the activation, I wasn't suddenly going to hear and the whole world was going to change for me. It was much more realistic. But my granddaughter wanted to come, 13-year-old, and my daughter and my husband were there. And I could tell, I could tell anyway what was going to happen. But the audiologist got the little processor out, which is sort of like a hearing aid. If you've worn a behind-the-ear hearing aid, it's not that much of a transition to go to this. And I had the rechargeable batteries, which are wonderful. They put them in every night and just take one out. And she put this thing on, and then she started playing with the computer there. And then all of a sudden, I heard the most horrible sound I've ever heard in my life. It was awful. This happens at the beginning. The brain isn't ready yet. The brain has to get ready.
It's never heard anything.
No, not that way. The audiologist, Eva Barrow, just continued to talk in a regular tone of voice. And that's what's getting the brain, my brain, used to hearing in this different way. And so at first I couldn't speak. It was just like, it was hurting me to speak, and I can't say anything. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way it was. And I could see my granddaughter over there. I knew she was disappointed. She, grandma's going to hear. Everything's going to be great, you know. So I felt a little badly for her. But I just continued to just listen to Eva, and it got a little bit better. And then we left, and then when we were out in the cafe someplace afterwards, it was a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Everything strange, of course. And we got in the car and drove home 2 hours, and we turned the radio on. That was a little better. But still funny sounds. And that mm-hmm. night we had to go to the nursery school of a grandchild mm-hmm. where they had the children singing. And what happens when the brain wasn't ready to understand singing, mm-hmm. it would do this ringing in yeah. your ear. And it was very annoying. I was in there with this horrible ringing, and I wanted to get out of that hall really fast. The next day I did not want to put the thing in. Mm. I was crying. I thought, mm-hmm. I don't want to put this in. But I did, because this is what you were talking about earlier. Did they give you exercises or training? Right. This is what she told me to do. Listen to as much sound as possible mm-hmm. on the radio and the television, talking to people. Stick with it mm-hmm. so the brain can mm-hmm. get used to it. And the more you do, the sooner your brain gets used to it. So I stuck with it. The day after that wasn't so bad. Mm-hmm. From then on, it was better each day. Uh-huh. I guess I did pretty well, apparently. I don't know why, but within a few weeks I was using the telephone. Mm-hmm. I got used to these new sounds. I'd take a walk with my husband and say, what's that sound? And then the cars initially sounded like the ringing kind of sound until we found out it was a car, and then it sounded more like a car. Mm-hmm. I'd be in the backyard. I've written about this, mm-hmm. and it's going to be hopefully my next book. I was in the backyard one day, for instance, and I heard this ringing, and I was looking all around, and I found out, oh, it's an airplane up in the sky. You know? And then the birds. I hadn't heard the birds in maybe 40 years. Mm-hmm. And one day I sat out. It was May, which is a nice time to recuperate. The weather was nice. Sat out on the deck. Mm-hmm. The sun was shining. The blue sky. The clouds were floating by. And I was listening to the birds.
Aww.
And I was in ecstasy. The tears were coming down. And just stayed that way for about 2 hours.
Aww.
So I had experiences like that. Everything was like a new experience. Mm-hmm. A new world, really. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wrote about. I kept a journal every day, almost, and I started sending these emails to my family and friends mm-hmm. about what was happening. And eventually people wrote back and said, oh, I love this writing, Marie. Don't you want to write a book? So I am working on this book. Mm-hmm. And the experiences continue. I can hear my family. Thanksgiving was recently, and I looked at the table. We had 12 adults. The back and forth conversation, mm-hmm. which is so difficult for right. someone who's hard of hearing, I could hear all of it. I could hear the asides. I could hear my stepdaughter and her husband with their tiny little voices. Mm-hmm. You know what that does? Mm-hmm. That enables you to have a better relationship with those people mm-hmm. because I felt more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I want to get to that next, because there are other side effects, so to speak, mm-hmm. to this mm-hmm. operation that affect your general health. I believe the whole body is a system anyway. But, for instance, I've had great difficulty last summer with tension in my shoulders mm-hmm. and was going to a physical therapist. That's all gone. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason is because I'm not straining to lip read and all squinched up straining to lip read so hard. I would get home every day exhausted if mm-hmm. I went to a place where I had to strain to lip read all day long. And so that's one thing. And the relationships and the communication. We talk about communication as being such an important part in relationships, number one, mm-hmm. whether you're hard of hearing or not. Mm-hmm. That is so true, because I can see now, as I look at my husband, who's still hard of hearing, mm-hmm. but who's going for an evaluation next week, yay, and see how he misunderstands what I say, mm-hmm. thinks I say something else, and responds in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I must have done that.
Yeah.
And I must have really turned some people off sometimes, gotten some people upset, mm-hmm. Maybe embarrassed myself, maybe hurt people's feelings. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So it was just something that doesn't happen anymore. And so I feel smarter. Mm-hmm. I go in the car. I turn on NPR. I couldn't hear talk radio before. Now I'm more aware of what's going on in the world. Sometimes I don't like to hear all that bad news. Sometimes, you know, somebody asked me, are there any downside to this? And I'm thinking of when I went into Marshall's store to go shopping, and I kept hearing that muzak or whatever it is, you know, and they pipe in and think, oh, gosh, well, they turned that off. I got to get out of here. I can't stand that. So it's a noisy world, in other words.
Are there other great questions I should be asking you?
Well, you wanted to know about the cochlear implant. The cochlear implant is not always accepted by everyone. Without knowing all the specific facts, I have read a few books. The deaf community has mixed feelings about it. I've seen in the hard of hearing community many successes, but the reason that I understand the deaf community has problems with it is because they don't see deafness as a disability. They feel as though they're a minority group, and there's nothing wrong with deafness. And they don't want it to disappear. They don't want sign language to disappear. They don't want their children to have cochlear implants, because then they won't be deaf anymore. And they'll be different. And it's kind of like, in a way, to draw an analogy, might be similar to Jews who are having so much intermarriage, interfaith marriage, and they don't want the whole, you know, Jewish population to disappear.
Is it possible, if you are deaf, that it might still bring back pretty good hearing?
Well, it works well, apparently, with children who were born deaf, or they can learn speech, because children learn speech much easier. But if you take, in general, a deaf adult, it would be much more of a challenge, particularly if that person had never heard any speech. Because imagine that you suddenly were in China and you didn't know Chinese. You had to learn Chinese to understand what was going on around in your world. You're a deaf person, you have this surgery, then you have to go out and understand what people are talking about. And the brain is not as flexible to learn languages when you're older as it is when you're a child in the developing years when you're learning language.
When's your book going to be done?
Hopefully soon. I'd say within the next year. Okay. Yeah, the next year. I write when I'm motivated and inspired, and I'm trying to get more like Hemingway, not that I'm anyway like him, but he was disciplined, you know, on a regular basis.
But you would count it as a big success, and you're very happy with the result.
Absolutely. I am so happy with the result. I mean, it's funny, because I was sort of afraid of this before I had it done, and not knowing. I had a few health problems, and I was a little afraid of surgery. That they were so thorough with the questioning and the pre-surgery things and the anesthesiologist questioning you if you have any problems with that and things like that, that they make you feel so comfortable. That really dispelled a lot of those fears. But, you know, I can't even say how happy I am. And people tell me, they say, Marie, you look great. You don't have any wrinkles in your face. Your face is more relaxed. You look younger. And I feel more relaxed. And as a result, when you're with people and you're more relaxed, they're more relaxed.
Right.
You're not creating tension in them and in your interaction. So there's a whole feedback thing that goes on.
Well, you must be fantastic now on TV as compared to, because you did. Were you experiencing problems while you were on TV in terms of the hearing?
Somewhat, yeah. In fact, I have to ask myself, how did I ever do that? I was reading lips. The crew and I would preview the people, the guests, and tell them how they had to speak in order for me to understand. And also the crew behind the cameras used signs and so on to signal to me, and everybody was aware of it. But now that I'm more relaxed, I'm looser. It says in the article, I'm looser. My daughter said, I love that looser, Mom. You know what I mean? I feel like I can be me and not worry about the hearing and all that stuff. I can just be Marie. I can just be funny. I can be whatever my real personality is.
Well, I love your personality, so don't change it anymore, okay? This has been wonderful. Thank you.
I recommend it, and I recommend that people out there, professionals and consumers, at least look into it and think about how your life can change if you have something like this. And what a wonderful miracle it is, and the fact that it's available. And take a risk, take a chance, and make your life so much more meaningful and so much more pleasant.
Thank you. That was wonderful.